live from Manhattan, Kansas. Online radio and television, Duo.com.
This week, April Fool's has come and gone. So I'm going to cover the best and the worst of everything that happened. But you can't believe everything you hear today because I have some breaking news. One of the stories that I read is completely made up. I'm Seth Neiman, your host. All this and more coming up next.
For the next hour, you have the privilege of listening to Seth Neiman describe to you the best stories from Earth last week. The countdown has begun. Here's your host, Seth Neiman.
Welcome, everyone, to Hour with Seth. I am your host, Seth, and we're going to spend an hour together. You know, a little bit. If we don't count the intro, if we do, it's a little less than an hour, but I just can't come on here and talk, otherwise people wouldn't understand what's going on. That's why news shows need intros, sitcoms need intros. Intros are important, okay? They're the lifeblood of a show. How I Met Your Mother wouldn't have ended terribly without a good intro, which I think is just photos, like, falling onto tables or something. I don't know. It's been a while. Unlike most people that watch that show, I quit around season 5. The last thing I remember is him drawing a duck in some type of architecture class, and I'm like, I'm out of here. And I saved myself the trouble. And it turns out that I was right, because everyone was like, why did I waste my life? I don't know why you wasted your life. I didn't. I watched other shows that came on. But the first 4 seasons I thought were hilarious. But then apparently they all sucked after that, and I'm the only one who found out. But today we're going to talk about a lot of things. April Fool's, of course, came and went. Although my debut episode technically came out the day after, or no, actually it came out the day of April Fool's, the show is not released live, so we record it live. I'm recording it right now on a Sunday evening. It's April 6th, and it will come out April 8th, so if anything crazy happens in the next 2 days, you won't hear about it. You'll hear about it next week. So I think that's pretty standard. How I Met Your Mother is recorded months in advance. If there was some type of catastrophe involving all mothers on Earth, people would think that was pretty distasteful once the show aired, but they would have no way of knowing they've already recorded it. So I don't know what catastrophe could happen that would make mothers an awkward subject. I'm sure if me and Cameron put our heads together, we could think of some things, but they're definitely not things we could talk about on the air. So I'm going to try to stop thinking about those things before I blurt out things that I shouldn't say. But so April Fool's happened. We got a lot of jokes. I've got a lot of show prep to go through. 34 pages, although one is a cover sheet, so it doesn't count. So technically 33 pages of prep to go through, half of which I would say are probably April Fool's jokes that are good or bad, depending on how you look at it. But we've also got some James Franco news to cover. He's been big, you know, in the news, and, you know, I've got a lot of things to talk about. So, but top story, as always, I told you guys last week, if you can read this right here, new Monopoly rules. Every time there's a Monopoly story, it's the top story. Also, it's a follow-up, and so I think it would be really awkward to just, you know, talk about Monopoly halfway through the show when obviously it's top of mind. So we talked last week about what new rules could go in. And honestly, I thought they would take longer than a week to debate this. I do recall saying 10 days in my last news story, but that seemed longer to me than 10 days when I talked about it. But they're already out. So Hasbro has decided to include five house rules. No rent collection while in jail. If you land on go, you get $400 instead of $200. If you land on free parking, you get all the money that's in free parking. And there's a couple more. You must travel the board one full time before you can buy properties. And if you roll double ones, snake eyes, you get $500. So those are the five rules that got added in. The most interesting part of this is that they included some other ones that were highly voted that were not included. So apparently, Jonathan Berkowitz, a fellow member of the tribe, stated that our goal is to stay current and deliver Monopoly in a way that they want to engage with it, and that means sometimes being new and having modern takes on the brand. He's the vice president of marketing. So after 79 years, they decided to add a couple rules back into the book. So did you know that some people play where moms get out of jail free, always, no questions asked? That's lame. Or did you know that buying houses for a property without an actual monopoly, which means buying a house for just one color instead of all of the sets, so like you could own pink, I could own pink, and Colby could own pink, but I could buy a house for the one pink that I own. That's lame. That didn't make it in. And 34% of people said that they make up the rules as they go. 34%. One in three people just sit down and play Monopoly and just make it up. That's crazy to me. But anyways, I don't really disagree with any of these rules. I think they're pretty safe choices to put into the official rules. Like I said, I already play with free parking. Not a big deal. No rent collection while in jail. That kind of makes sense. But at the same time, I watched The Wolf of Wall Street last night. And I feel like if you're in jail, you should be able to make money. I mean, that guy did. You know, double the dough for landing on go and rolling ones and collecting money. That's not a big deal. Like I said, I dominate at Monopoly. So me, you can have your $400 on go. I don't care. $400 is a pittance to me. Okay. I'm busy on my 150-foot yacht sailing to Monaco as a wave crashes and flips it over. Spoiler alert. Cameron, have you seen Wolf of Wall Street? Okay, good. I only care if I spoil it for Cameron. You people I don't care about. But I didn't want to ruin something for Cameron. So, spoiler alert, that really hot lady gets naked. And there's like three of them. So, it's worth a watch. And you see something of Jonah Hill's that I could have lived without.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. So, that was the top story. So, after that, I kind of want to jump right into April Fool's. Because like I said, I do have the most April Fool's jokes of anything else on the prep sheet. So let's just get started with the internet and how much it sucks on April Fool's Day. You can't believe anything you hear. Every news story that comes out, the day before, the day after, or surfaces, organically or, you know, virally during that period, you simply cannot trust. Like James Franco, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, we don't really know for sure if that's a true story or not. He's come out now and said that it's true, but he's also got a movie coming out that's about a teacher falling in love with a student, so you can't really trust anything. But we're going to get to that. That's just an example of why you can't believe everything. However, some things on the internet are getting more clever, and as such, you know that they're not real. The first one is Google's Magic Hand, which is an input method for smartphones that you control with your brain. So you can attach it to any keyboard. There's right and left hand attachments. And, of course, they have the beautiful cat paw version as well as a back scratcher. I don't really have a problem with this April Fool's joke, but as I started collecting these April Fool's jokes, I started to notice a trend. Everything's about cats. And I know that the internet has been very cat heavy for a long time now. But it's literally almost all, the trend of the year is cats. It's like a couple years ago during the Super Bowl, you noticed that commercials discovered what a hashtag was. And now you can't have a commercial without a hashtag. Well, this is like 2 years ago. And 2 years from now, you can't have an April Fool's joke without a cat in it. This is where it begins. Some other highlights without cats are, of course, the Google Maps Pokemon Challenge, where if you download the Google Maps app to your phone, you can find Pokemons like Bayleaf right here, just out and about. I don't really understand how the game works. I understand the concept of a scavenger hunt, but like if Pikachu's on the top of Tokyo Tower and I'm in Manhattan, Kansas, I can't catch them all. Am I supposed to get an international flight to Tokyo? I mean, I feel like the only way this could be actually fun is if all of the Pokemon are in your 10-mile radius, which would actually be a great iPhone app. I think we should make that and make $1 billion. So someone get on that and make it and put it in the store and then just send me checks for the idea, because that would be fun. Another one, and these are all Google, of course, that are doing this. Here's one where you just take a picture. This is for Google Plus Photos, and David Hasselhoff is immediately inserted into your photo as some type of evil photo bomb. And, of course, I'm showing these to the camera, so if you're not watching the video, shame on you. It's at just go to Duo.com and click watch video, but it's on YouTube. Everyone can watch it. It's in high def, and we spent $1 million setting up the video feed, you know, give or take about 900,000 of that million. 999,000 of that million. But regardless, David Hasselhoff's face. So that, and then also Google, for the first time, I believe, they started doing jokes with their acquisitions. Now, Nest is a thermostat company. They also make smoke detectors now, but they're kind of like the hipster thermostat. So they're round, and they've got like the cool LCD in the middle, and I own one, so I shouldn't mock it. But Google bought them, and of course all the hipsters were in an uproar because like, oh my God, Google's going to put cameras in our thermostats and watch me as I shower. They're not, but that's what they all think. And so some people were saying it's too soon for Google to make an April Fool's joke about Nest, but the April Fool's joke was installing Nest in every Virgin America airline seat. So each seat could have its own temperature control. Big deal. That's not funny. Skip it. And then here's some more. Chromecast for squirrels. So basically they're making apps that are paw-friendly. Not funny, really. It's all animals again. Google apps for business dogs. So this would be like if dogs would signed up for Google apps. It's either they have a Dmail with human to dog translation, Hangouts with bark enhancement, and paw recognition technology. That actually exists, though, because it turns out that the fingerprint scanner on the iPhone 5S will be uniquely identified to a cat's paw. So if you own a cat or a friend owns a cat and somehow you get into his phone, delete all of his touch IDs and replace it with his cat's hand. So that would be a real good April Fool's joke right there.
I'm all about that. I'm pro that.
Yeah. I mean, hacking people's phones with cat hands?
Yes, of course.
It's brilliant. Another animal-themed one is ad birds. As you can see here, there's a big bird. By the way, they spent a lot of time on this graphic. I don't know if you can tell, but the high-res-itude of this bird is just incredible. They really didn't put an intern on that. But essentially, you know, you can... it's AdWords, but for birds. So, you know, you can send a sparrow to deliver your ad, or an owl, or a duck, or an eagle, or a pigeon, or a penguin. Although penguin, I think, would be a bad choice. They can't fly. They would have to waddle. So, I mean, it's like a really bad courier service at that point. But that's ad birds. Basically, it's like carrier pigeons. So that's a joke that probably will quickly become a reality as Google decides they can actually make money off of carrier pigeons. And then, of course, the last one was, you know, coffee to the home, which I only put in here because my girlfriend Chris wishes this wasn't an April Fool's joke. She would like coffee to be delivered to the home. Google's like thing behind this is they're already doing fiber to every home, so why not just include coffee as they, you know, install fiber for a monthly fee, I'm sure. But that's really the roundup of Google's. Now, there were a couple other ones. Tumblr Pro was one of my favorites. So if you follow me on Tumblr, you saw that I signed up for Tumblr Pro, and it added a top hat to your profile picture. And that's all it did was add a classy top hat, which I was a big fan of. I kind of wished it would have kept around. Top hats are classy, and they can class up anything. Even my Tumblr, they can class it up by adding a top hat. So Tumblr Pro was pretty fun. I wish they would have kept that around. And, of course, that's now Yahoo. So congrats to Yahoo for being funnier than Google this year. Airbnb, which, of course, is a business that makes money by renting out your house, essentially. So I would go and say, I have a spare bedroom listed on Airbnb for $50 a night. And then hobos and hipsters would stay on your couch in that second bedroom instead of getting a hotel room like a normal person with continental breakfast and staff and privacy. So Airbnb decided to expand on April Fool's Day to list your desk, which I think they thought was kind of clever, but in reality, it's very hipster. You know, co-working spaces are pretty hot right now. People love to have an office that people just stop by and use their internet, you know, pay $200 a month, and they co-share an office, and then they get around and they tell their hipster stories while they're wearing their hipster pants. And I'm really against hipsters today, apparently. Generally, I'm not against hipsters, but apparently today I hate hipsters. And to cap it all off, LinkedIn, although I did rail against people who use cats for the first 16 minutes of this show, my favorite of the day is LinkedIn's Cats You May Know. So they put in LinkedIn's interface a bunch of kitties, and you could, of course, network with them. The cats had names like Battle Paws, Galacticat, Prissy Sissy, Fergus Sugar Britches, and, of course, my favorite, this cat right here, his name is Poop Tart. Lovely cat. But, of course, you know, Pickles is there. But, you know, there's cats you may know, and I think that's really great. And then there's one other one called the Orbotix Selfie Bot. This is my second place. I don't even know what they do. They did a very bad job of actually talking about their business. But Orbotix does something, I'm sure, involving robots. But basically, they invented this hovering robot that just flies around the house and takes selfies of you all day. And then automatically shares it to Twitter or Instagram or whatever. So that's the roundup of April Fool's Day jokes online. Like I said, I like April Fools. I'm not really against April Fools in theory. It's not a bad holiday. I do hate that it ruins Twitter for the day. I'm a big fan of Twitter, and you essentially can't believe any news story you hear online. But it does have the added benefit of negating all of the real-life April Fool's jokes that would happen. So, you know, 10 years ago, before Twitter or before Google started doing this stuff, people would put tacks in your seat or, you know, duct tape your car shut or put, you know, super glue on your toilet seat. That doesn't happen really anymore because now people just prank you on the internet. And although it's mildly annoying, it's not painful. So I kind of border between thank you, internet, for taking away the tax in my butt, and God, I just wish I had Twitter for 365 days instead of 364 days out of the year. But I guess there's always leap years. So that covered about 10 pages of our 35 pages of prep. So when we come back, we are going to talk about some more awesome stuff. Starbucks, James Franco, and of course, real life Indiana Jones. We'll be right back.
Online, radio, and TV. Welcome to the next level. From Manhattan, Kansas, this is Duo.
Well, it's time again, ladies and germinators. It's time for you and me to get together, pull up a rocking chair, a milk crate, a footstool, anything that you might have handy, because you are about to be exposed to this next fine, super fine installment of Rants from the Barn. Rants from the Barn here at Duo.com, coming to you every Tuesday.
This is Duo.com. You'll never need a TV or radio again. Duo.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Brandon, the host of The Social Circuit, the new social media show airing on Duo.com. every Thursday, where we talk about all the social media news for the last week, week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever I feel like. The funny stuff, the good stuff, the awesome stuff. Every Thursday, catch me, Brandon, on the social circuit at Duo.com.
Online, radio, and TV.
Welcome to the next level.
From Manhattan, Kansas, this is Duo.
Welcome back. So, apparently in Louisiana, there's a fan of the devil. That's not really news. If anyone's watched True Detective, it appears that everyone in Louisiana is a fan of the devil.
Yeehaw!
Down by the bayou, all they do is worship Satan. But turns out that I'm going to cover up half of this photo here. You can see this is a nice Starbucks. It looks, you know, it kind of looks like it belongs in Texas and not in Louisiana. It's kind of adobe-ish. But it turns out that a Louisiana teacher is complaining that a barista in a Baton Rouge Starbucks location drew these satanic symbols on her coffee. If you're not watching the video, once again, shame on you, but there is an upside-down star and 666 written in caramel on the beautiful foam that the barista prepared for them. Apparently, the teacher posted it to Starbucks' Facebook page, and it now has 1,500 likes and 700 shares, which I don't know if that means 1,500 people agree with what happened or they agree that it's bad. I think most of the times I would just be like, LOL. But Starbucks reached out and said, "We're quite concerned and we'd like to learn more." And according to the teacher, they've apologized and said, "We're taking this complaint seriously." But most of the people on Starbucks just think the guy is a metal music fan. People are saying most metal. And thumbs up Slayer fans and, you know, Metallica rules, that type of thing. I don't really know what to think about that. I don't think that someone's like, "Praise Satan, I'm going to write it on the coffee." Don't know if that actually helps the cause of Satan in any way. I just think it was probably some guy being funny. So it worked. I laughed when I saw it, 666 with the coffee. I kind of hope next time Chris goes to Starbucks, someone writes, you know, "Hail Satan" or something.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. I'd be, you know, and honestly, I don't know how people do this with the caramel, but drawing a star like that, that's pretty intricate. I mean, and those sixes, they look, I mean, if we turn them upside down, they're pretty good G's. I mean, it's a good drawing. So kudos to that talented barista. Although his talents were wasted on Satan, still, if he drew a nice bunny or something, it'd probably be pretty cool. I don't know what they draw on that stuff. I think they're just supposed to swirl it, but it seems like a lost opportunity to advertise or something. Yeah. What if they drew the Duo Leaf in their Starbucks coffee? That would be awesome. Starbucks, start doing that, then send me a check for that idea. Let's just jump to this since we're talking about comments on the internet. Gawker, which a lot of people hate because they don't think it's a real news show. The owner of Gawker, the editor-in-chief or whatever, basically sent out this memo to the people that said, "Here's what Gawker is now and what we can no longer do." So he sent this email and started it. "I meant to send this out on Monday but forgot. These are my exclamation points." So obviously, this is kind of informal, but he's banned these following things. Strikethroughs. So no more strikethrough in the HTML. Google searches ignore it, RSS ignore it, copy and paste ignore it, and it's really effing up our meaning, especially in headlines. "For corrections, rather than a strikethrough, change the wording and the link from there to a comment noting the corrected text." That one's pretty normal. Stop strike through. However, the next ones are kind of funny because they're like internet things. So he banned internet slang or buzzwords. You can no longer, he says, he wants to sound like regular adult human beings, not BuzzFeed writers or Reddit users. So he said, no more epic, Pwn, plus one, derp, no slashes, no, this just happened, no, OMG, WTF, LULZ, lols, no, for the wins, no, wins, and lastly, no amaze balls, which I think the internet's a better place if there would be more amaze balls. But he's banned these from Gawker. He says nothing will ever, quote-unquote, win the internet. But do not use amaze balls. And he also banned one word that apparently is running rampant through Gawker, which I'm not a big Gawker reader, so I don't know this, but apparently the word massive is never allowed to appear on the website Gawker.com. Then he pasted synonyms to use instead of massive. Huge, enormous, vast, immense, large, big, mighty, great, colossal, tremendous, prodigious, gigantic, gargantuan, mammoth, monstrous, monumental, giant, towering, elephantine, mountainous, titanic, eucurious, bro, big, dig, monster, jumbo, mega, whopping, humongous, hulking, honking, bumper, astronomical, and ginormous. All synonyms for massive that the Gawker writers can use instead. Speaking of people who don't write correctly, a Manhattan court stenographer was fired a year or so ago because instead of writing what the court case was, what was happening to the court case, he repeatedly wrote, "I hate my job." And his name is Daniel Koknansky, I believe. But he was 43 years old, and he was fired in March of 2012 for misconduct. But as they're getting around to reading his filings that he has produced, they're realizing that most of it is gibberish and says, "I hate my job," over and over again. Now, Mr. Koknansky has said that he was an alcoholic, and now he is a year sober, so good for him. But apparently, all these court cases, which range in a couple dozen, 30 court cases in Manhattan, New York, not Manhattan here, now have to be almost retried, or they have to bring in jurors and people that were there at one point to kind of recap what happened, because they don't know what happened in the court cases because the guy kept writing, "I hate my job." So he has the last laugh, I think, in that situation. I don't know if that's a criminal offense. I would assume they would mention that in the article. But regardless, kudos to that man. And now, for our second segment top story, James Franco. James Franco, I'm sure you've all heard by now. He hit on a 17-year-old girl through his Instagram page. This is not a... this is not news that I would normally cover on Hour with Seth because it's pretty mainstream, but I like James Franco, and more importantly, I love to dissect the way celebrities talk. So instead of discussing his relationship with this 17-year-old, which happened, there's no doubt, he came out and admitted it, I want to talk about how he picks up chicks, why he decides to pick them up this way, and how he speaks. Because James Franco is pretty well known as being a well-educated actor. Somehow, if you've watched Pineapple Express or any movie he's been in that's not 127 hours, it's I imagine it's pretty difficult to think of him as a really intelligent person. But people do. They think that he's brilliant. But essentially, he trolls Instagram for hotties, like Cameron, and then DMs them. And so he reached out to this 17-year-old girl who he didn't know. And he starts by saying, "Hi." I mean, I guess that's the best way you could open a conversation is saying hi.
He's a real baller.
He is. He reached out and he said hi. This 17-year-old then said hi with a screaming cat because she can't believe that James Franco said hi to her. James Franco, now with the niceties over, he cuts right to the chase. Where do you live? New York City? She replies, Scotland. So, if I'm James Franco at this point, I just kind of, I would give up. Or, maybe, because he's so brilliant, he decides, oh, Scotland, huh? Well, she's in New York City right now. That means no matter what happens, she's going to go back to Scotland. I don't have to worry about her ever again. So there's no risk of a stage one clinger because she's going 1,000 miles away across the Atlantic Ocean. But she says she's from Scotland, a small town called Dollar. James Franco, completely ignoring her personality, says, how long will you be in New York? And then the girl replies, sorry, a few days. It's my 18th birthday present. James Franco, now with the question of the hour, are you 18? Who are you with? And do you have a boyfriend? Now, I don't want to nitpick the poor man, but if you're just trolling for girls on Instagram and you're a famous actor who is 100% going to be screenshotted every time you text or message anyone about anything, the first question you should ask of a girl that you're not sure is 18 is, are you 18? Then, if you're not a scumbag, the second question you should ask is, do you have a boyfriend? Then you can say hi and ask where you're from. I'd just like to give some advice out there to Mr. Franco. The 17-year-old says, nearly 18, I'm with my mom, and not if you're around. So she's obviously has a boyfriend, but she has a free pass for the celebrity. James Franco, he asks three questions at a time every time. When is your B-day? Where are you staying? And what is your number? Lucy, the 17-year-old, now says, my birthday is in May. Just for the record, it's April right now. May is not one of those times where you could be like, close enough. There's this, you know, there's probably the night before the birthday, you're probably safe. Maybe even a week before. You're probably pushing it 7 days out, but it's still pretty safe. 40 days in advance of her birthday, that's too far. She's 17, be careful. She has exams, so they just went to New York now before she has her schoolwork to do. As I get older, I'm 27, and I don't know how old James Franco is, but I know he's probably in his early 30s, I would say. As I get older, I start to do something that 16-year-old me would beat me up for, which is look at high school girls and go, wow, that girl looks way too young for me. As I get older, that becomes more apparent. I think that's good. That means I'm not a perverted psychopath. I think that's healthy to think that way. But James Franco obviously doesn't have the chip in his brain that makes him think, wow, she's so young that she had to take a vacation based on her high school exams. Well, I guess that's okay. We could still get together. James, what are you doing, my man? She asks, what do you mean, phone number? Well, he explains to her that he means her phone number so he can text her. Well, of course, it then switches to iOS 7 text messaging. James Franco says, can I see you? All right, now let's take a step back. Let's recap everything that's happened up till this point. Hi, how old are you? When's your birthday? Do you have a boyfriend? Who are you with? I'm 17. My birthday's in 50 days. I'm with my mom, and I'm here because I have high school interrupting my birthday schedule. Okay, so can I get together with you? This is James Franco's line of thought. This is. If he just went back and read maybe what he'd said, that rhymed, maybe this wouldn't have happened. Then the girl says, you can see me as long as you are actually James Franco and not someone bad like a person who wants to sleep with 17-year-old girls just willy-nilly. You know, as long as you're James Franco, I'll come see you. Four things. I am. You're single. What's the hotel? Should I rent a room? Well, James, she's with her mom, so unless you want to turn this into the weirdest threesome of all time, you should probably get a room. But she's also 17 and has a boyfriend, so maybe don't. Then this girl, because the internet's ruined for her just like it is for everyone else, says April Fool's was an hour ago, though. Then he includes this really creepy picture of him saying, "It's me," and it's him doing this. Anyone could pull that from the internet, so that doesn't mean anything. And he said, it's me, yes or no, tomorrow or Thursday. So he wants an answer right now. James Franco doesn't want to work for this 17-year-old. He wants her to want him enough to just jump on board immediately, no questions asked. She doesn't have to ask. She can't ask her mom. She just has to say yes. What is a 17-year-old going to do? "Mom, thank you for this vacation. I know I'm 17, but can I please go to a different room in this hotel with a strange man?" She's going to leave? She's in New York, 1,000 miles away from home. James Franco, you're not thinking this through, man. He ends a conversation with the letter X. Then he says, or then she says, "I'll come back when I'm 18. Then he says, "X again," meaning okay, I guess. I guess hip people now just sign it X when they've acknowledged your existence. So like in Facebook Messenger, you give the thumbs up. You know, if you're just like okay, but you don't want to type okay, just give a thumbs up. He just does an X. That's probably going to catch on now. If it hasn't already, like I said, I'm old, but he's older than me. But I'm also not as hip as James Franco. I'm definitely not hip enough to pick up 17-year-old girls. Then the girl, because she's 17 and doesn't know how to close her mouth, says, "Well, this is a story my Scottish friends will never believe." Then James Franco starts sweating bullets. This is the part where he gets upset. "Don't tell." That's what he says. "Don't tell. You're 17. Don't tell." Right. Then she says, "I just want proper evidence that it's you, and I won't." All right, James Franco, you're supposed to be a brilliant guy. If you text someone and be like, "Guess what, I just stabbed a person," and that person texts you back and goes, "Wow, I can't wait to tell my friends," and then you say, "No, don't tell anybody I just killed somebody," and they go, "Well, I won't if you send me evidence that you did." Maybe at that point you sever all ties with that person and start denying until you die. Because they're probably going to share that with everyone they know, including the entire internet. Just some advice for the future, James Franco. Then he says, "I gave it to you. If you don't want to meet, then text me when you do. Bye." Then the girl says, "You sound so dodgy, though." Then he just said, "Bye," again, dismissing the girl. Then she says, "One second. I will meet you if you write my name on a piece of paper, then send it to me with your face also in the picture. Please." James Franco has now said bye 4 times. But the thought of meeting this 17-year-old girl is enough to bring him back from Byland 4 times to send this picture, which I blew up for your pleasure, of him pointing at his own face, the word Lucy underneath, and his big mug looking at it.
I really hope that's his middle finger.
It might be.
I hope so.
I don't know if it is. It's kind of impossible to tell. But basically, he's doing the equivalent of this. If I wanted to pick up a 17-year-old girl, I would do this. Oh, I almost wrote Scott, but that's a boy's name.
Fantasies.
What's a short girl's name?
Sarah.
That's my ex-wife. Can't do that.
Oh,
one.
Sorry.
That's the one I thought of, too. After Scott.
Oh, boy.
Let's do Jess.
All right.
Here's my James Franco moment. Here we go.
Okay. That's good. Like
actually,
that.
It has to be more like...
as awkward as possible. Get some, James Franco.
So there you go. That's my James Franco. So... James Franco, what are you doing? Immediately, Lucy jumps on Twitter and says, "James Franco is now following me on Instagram," in all caps. Further investigation of James Franco's Instagram shows that he is following all of these hot ladies right here. And he DMs them a lot. And in James Franco's Twitter bio, I don't know if you can read this circle part right here, but it says, please don't DM me if you are under 18. Thank you. Well, I guess he learned. So, I just have to say something that's going to be controversial. And it's going to happen a little bit on this show. So, parents, I apologize, but I have a son, not a daughter. I'm going to lean in close to the camera so you know I'm serious. I have a son and not a daughter. So, it's obviously different to raise a son than it is a daughter. Most fathers of daughters are very protective of their children. They don't want them to go out with strange men. However, I'm not ignorant to the fact that I know children at a very young age now are starting to do what us adults call the sex. If my 17-year-old daughter was on vacation, and I knew that in England, or you know, the United Kingdom, where 16 is actually the legal age of consent, not 18, so she's actually 19, the equivalent of 19 here, and I know that she's already doing the nasty with people over there. As a parent, I would almost rather her be with James Franco than some random person in Scotland. Jeremy, who has measles and God knows what all over his body with his curly red ginger hair, you know, and his Jameson's addiction. That's who your daughter's with instead of James Franco. So I don't want to encourage... I don't know what the word is. Let's just say philandering. I don't want to encourage that, but at the same time, we all know what's happening to America's youth and Scotland's youth all the time, and if you have a chance to go out with James Franco instead of Jeremy or Connor or, you know, Chad, whoever that douche is at your high school who's not worthy of you, I would go out with James Franco as well. For example, if my son was 17 and he was at school doing the nasty, which he may be doing, I don't know, he's not 17 yet, but time goes on. If I knew he was doing that, but he also had a chance to be with, let's say, Emma Watson. Son, please be with Emma Watson instead.
Yeah.
That's better. Have some self-respect. Anyway. that probably should not have been said. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Online, radio, and TV from Manhattan, Kansas. This is Duo.
Howdy, hey everybody. Cameron here for Why Did We Watch That? The show that comes to you every Monday with the best, the worst, and the flat-out strange in film. You can check us out at Duo.com, Duoh.com. Once again, hashtag WDWWT. Find us all over the internet, Facebook, Twitter, sometimes Vine, even Instagram. Why do we watch that? Question I ask far too often.
Buttered cream corn.
This is
Duo.com. You'll never need a TV or radio again.
Duo.com.
I've got one simple question for you. Would you like some free swag? T-shirts, stickers, posters, exclusive content? You can! Just join the Duo Fan Club. It's totally free and it takes about 30 seconds. Just go to DEWOH.com/fanclub. Tell us some quick info about yourself, like what kind of swag you like best. And before you know it, it'll be at your doorstep. Duo.com/fanclub.
Live from Manhattan, Kansas. Online, radio, and television, Duo.com.
And welcome back, everybody. So, we've got a little more than 15 minutes left in my hour, and I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stories left to cover. So, let's crack our knuckles, and let's get down to business. Number one is how much of my life I've wasted watching television shows. So some jerk out there on the internet decided that he would be all cool and let you and build some type of calculator where you could enter the TV show that you have watched enter the number of seasons of that television show you have watched, and then add up the running times to show how much of your life you have wasted watching a specific television series. So, I don't consider myself to be a big TV watcher. I mostly work. So, I only watch what I consider to be very good shows or shows that my girlfriend will make me watch. But for the most part, I watch very few shows. So, I have 16 shows that I watch, which sounds like a big number, but honestly, it's not that big. I've wasted 73 days, 8 hours, and 20 minutes of my life watching these TV shows. Now, 73 days doesn't sound big, but that's 2.5 months. Basically, if I could take all my life minus that, essentially I could watch TV from now until my birthday in the middle of June, just watching these TV shows and doing nothing else. When I think about it that way, it's a little sad. The biggest additions were I've watched 9 seasons of Bones. I've watched 7 seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer twice. Watched 5 seasons of Angel twice. And watched 6 seasons of Lost twice. That didn't help. However, some of the other shows that I thought would be smaller, like Game of Thrones or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you know, Mad Men, Breaking Bad, they really add up. So, big shout out to that jerk who came up with this calculator. If you want to find out how much of your life you've wasted, just Google it. TV show calculator time waste life orator thing. It'll come right up. Just Google exactly what I just said. Come right up. Top result. Guys like that, nerds, they're also people like this next gentleman named Milo Yiannopoulos. I'm just going to call him Milo from now on and pretend that he's a nice kitty and he has a pug friend named Otis. Crickets. For 3 years now, I've taken what might be described as a data-driven approach to my social life. Specifically, I've been maintaining a gigantic spreadsheet of friends and business contacts updated with columns such as hotness index, income, and strategic value. And I spend about 4 hours a week keeping it up to date. Why? The spreadsheet is simply the best tool I've developed so far for managing an ever-increasing contact list of interesting people that I am anxious to introduce to one another or with whom I want to spend more time. Of course, not everyone makes the cut. As I write this, there are 746 people in my spreadsheet out of a possible 4,500 entries in my address book. Included and assessed on a variety of metrics are A-list celebrities, board members of multinational companies, investors in my previous ventures, and people I went to school with, and yeah, a few randoms from 2009 I sort of maybe call at 2 a.m. Present and past relationships appear in my database, as do family members and work colleagues. These days, most of us have more heavily overlapping consistencies of work and play. However, I will not pretend that I don't get a frisson of childish amusement from shorting the stock, quote-unquote, of people who show up late for an appointment, or even demoting those who have annoyed me in some way. But the primary objective of maintaining this information is to enable me to quickly and easily filter and rank contacts before I send out invitations to parties and suppers. The image above gives you an indication of what the spreadsheet looks like. I rank pretty much everyone I meet that I might want to see again in a number of different ways. Subjective cultural assessments, estimates of income and intelligence, and how much they like to party, how much trouble they like to get into, and obviously, how physically attractive they are. The scores are then normalized across the entire group, which enables me to quickly and easily drill down and generate lists from which I can craft the perfect party. I can even engineer how the photos will look, since I have a column that covers personal style. Politics is covered by a simple pass or fail. Because of this, I have made some interesting discoveries about my social life. For example, people ranked closer to me with a tier of A or B are more physically attractive and have politics that align with mine. But there's no correlation between a person's income and how highly I value their relationship unless there's been romantic interest. My close friends, tier A, tend to have high IQs, but their partying, troublemaking, and strategic values don't follow any patterns. All of which implies that I am attracted to pretty smart people with sound politics, but I don't particularly care whether or not they are wealthy or like to party. Look, I know this is a bit odd, and I must sound terribly calculated. I suppose there's a reason I'm writing a book called The Sociopaths of Silicon Valley. Perhaps it's what jacket blurbs refer to as quote-unquote unique insight, but the truth is, this is simply the best tool I have developed to help me navigate a complex environment. Maybe this guy should just use this thing called a brain that exists in everyone's head. You know why I like Cameron? Because he's a cool guy. I don't need to put him on a spreadsheet. Cameron's hotter than Matthew. I remember this. Because Matthew's ugly as a dog.
Yeah.
Maybe because he has 746 people in his spreadsheet. But who needs to know 746 people? I tried very hard to figure out why this would ever be necessary, besides to be self-serving, look at me type of an attitude, and I cannot. This guy made a spreadsheet to rank people so he can know these people better. I don't know. For some reason, this is just really stupid to me. And I know that it's trouble because if I ranked a girl a 5 and another girl a 6 and another girl a 7, all these girls are going to want to know what they are. All the men are going to want to know what they are. Everyone wants to know what they are on the spreadsheet. And then if you don't show them, doesn't that ruin your relationship a little bit? I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking this, but this guy has actual legit graphs of people that he knows. Like the one, the pie chart up top is nationality, WASPs, urban, so on so forth. Like, you ever need to know this? This is not information you need to know. He has average hotness by friendship tier. So you can see the A tier over here, that's up to 9. And as the friendship goes down, you get less hot. So if this thing does anything, it shows how vapid the man is by showing that the friends that he likes agree with his politics, they're more attractive, and they like to party. No way. What this guy has discovered is something that scientists have been trying to prove for what I believe to be millennia. The people you are friends with have the most in common with you. Who would have thought? What a crazy concept. And for tonight's final story. A team of FBI agents, archaeologists, and other experts are confiscating Native American and other artifacts and relics from a collection described as having immeasurable cultural significance from a home in rural central Indiana. Donald C. Miller, the owner of this house, apparently, who lives 35 miles southeast of Indianapolis, Indiana, collected hundreds and thousands of artifacts that he apparently got illegally. The monetary value, says the FBI agent, who I only see his last name, so his name is now Jones. The monetary value of this entire collection and of its individual pieces is yet to be determined. However, the cultural value of these artifacts is immeasurable. Jones said that the extensive collection, which Miller amassed over 80 years, includes Native American artifacts and relics, as well as items from the United States, China, Haiti, Australia, Russia, New Guinea, Italy, New Zealand, Puerto Rico, Greece, Peru, and possibly several other countries. He said he could not comment on the nature of the items, but said that Miller had traveled extensively and the team was trying to decide exactly how he got these artifacts. Lindsay Zimmerman, Larry, I made him a woman, Larry Zimmerman, a professor of anthropology and museum studies, said that he was overwhelmed when he saw the collection. Quote, I have never seen a collection like this in my entire life, except for in some of the largest museums. Miller, who is now 91 years old, told CBS that he was a lifetime collector who had a museum of hundreds of artifacts in his basement. He says that he has absolutely the rightful ownership of the artifacts and that he was fully cooperating with the FBI's search. I've been in 200 countries collecting artifacts, and he has not been charged with any crimes. And he says that some 200 people are involved in the process of identifying these relics, which could take years. So, he's a real-life Indiana Jones, because he lives in Indiana. He's been traveling for 80 years collecting rare relics from all over the world and keeping them in his house. I don't understand why this is illegal. So, I'm not a lawyer by any means. Everyone knows this. If I was, I wouldn't have said that thing about the 17-year-old. But I don't understand why you can't travel to Iraq, find a jar in the dirt, and take it back home with you. Don't know. But apparently you can't. Well, apparently you can. You just, the FBI is going to raid your home when you're 90 and take it over. For some reason, I just think this is really cool. Look at this guy's compound. That's a crazy compound right there. Focus. 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 There we go. Look at that. That's a crazy compound. How does a guy make money traveling around the world collecting artifacts? Maybe it's the selling of them that's illegal. I don't know. Like I said, not a lawyer. Well, that's all the time we've got for today. Goes fast. Oh, so sad because I didn't get to the college student who took a class and failed, and then turns out they failed because the teacher was teaching the wrong subject the entire time. I didn't get to the story about how rich people spend money more than poor people and what they buy now as opposed to 30 years ago. Didn't get to this story about what Starbucks drink is most popular in America, and do they like hot or cold coffee better? I didn't get to the story about how Vine has now launched a new direct messaging service for James Franco to hit on 13-year-old girls with. Didn't get to any of that. But I did get to spend an hour with you lovely people. And for that, I am forever grateful. Oh, from now on, I'm going to wear a robe when I do this show. Wait, no one wants to see that? Okay. Never mind. I'll come in regular clothes. Thought I would give you guys a treat. Regardless, thank you for watching. If you want to email me, which you don't because you haven't, the email address is seth@duo.com. DEWOH.com. Like the dew on a leaf and O. O-H. Sound it out. Not difficult. It's not D-W-A. We don't sell pizzas. Duo.com. Seth@duo.com. And, of course, our Facebook, our Twitters, our Instagrams, and our Vines. Follow all those things. I'm often the man who posts to those things. And if it's not me, then it's Cameron, who, as always, is a self-centered douche. Please send him hate mail. Cameron@duo.com. DEWOH.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Like I said, the video is available. Don't you want to see this beautiful face? Look at this face. Gorgeous. You can't see this face anywhere else except for on this show, so go to YouTube and check it out. And, oh yeah, the one story on the show this week that was fake? It was the story about me saying that there was a story fake. All of these stories were real. I am not nearly creative enough to come up with a story every week that's made up. Who do you think I am? Some type of genius? Well, anyway, we got 20 seconds left, and I've got to wrap up and go chat to some 17-year-old girls on Instagram. So thank you very much for watching. I'll see you guys next Tuesday.
This is Duo.com. You'll never need a TV or radio again.